the Super Speedway.
Welcome to episode 299 of the Super Speedway podcast, recorded Tuesday, October 10th, 2023. I'm your host, Eric Young, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. James, I was going to... It's been a crazy day, but I was going to pull the audio because I have the uncut audio of AJ Allmendinger and his final lap on Sunday, and I was going to pull it and play it during the intro since Jeff Burton talked all over it during the race broadcast. Couldn't shut up, let us hear it. But I didn't have time to pull it and put it in the clip, so no AJ Allmendinger audio. But it's online. If you go on the YouTubes, you can find it. But
tears welled up in his eyes.
Pretty emotional victory for AJ Allmendinger, which might lead you to believe what is coming next for AJ Allmendinger, I guess. But
yeah, he's got some. Yeah, he'll probably have some news here in the coming weeks. It sounds like, eh?
Yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll get into that and all that and much more. Charlotte Roval this week. But before we do that, James, how's everything going for you?
Oh, it's great, man. Just fantastic. Fantastic. We were talking about how I'm going to someday quit the podcast before we started tonight. I've got my exit plan already strategized.
That's
now.
That's awesome.
Yep. Carl Edwards style, baby. I'm going to peace out and you'll never hear from me again. But not yet. I'm gonna lord that over you for a little while. I got to enjoy that.
It's already been lorded over me.
Oh my God.
The expectations are there.
Well, I was going to say, we're at 299. Next week's 300.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I mean, I'm just trying to survive every day, but you're getting busy, man. You've got hockey, you've got all sorts of crap.
Yeah, it's hockey season. I just took on more projects, so it's going to be a busy winter, but that's okay. The Cup Series is almost over. Season's almost over. I can relax for, I don't know, a week, I guess, if you ask Denny Hamlin. There's not enough time in the off season, but whatever. We'll get into that too. But before we do that, let's talk about the Roval, James. Bank of America Roval 400 and AJ Allmendinger. We were right.
He got his win. We all nailed it. He got his win.
It was after the playoffs started, but he got his win.
One road course too late.
Yep.
I would say. But yeah, man, that was, I know what the sentiment is for how much people hate this new car on road courses, but watching him and Kyle go back and forth on those restarts was actually pretty entertaining.
Yeah. 'Cause
Kyle didn't have the stuff, but man, was Kyle giving him everything he had.
It'd be a lot more fun if they could pass, but yes, it's still the ending of this race was good. There was excitement there. It lived up to a playoff race. I mean, AJ, this wasn't AJ's race to win. AJ doesn't, if we don't have stage cautions, AJ doesn't win this race, because Tyler Reddick was fast, and I think Chase Elliott might have been faster. But one of those two guys were winning this race, and Chase almost had himself lined up to be in the running for it, and then got screwed by the
not
caution.
Not his year, man. It's just not meant to be.
Yeah.
He's just going to – I don't know. I mean, I remember Kyle Busch won when he was about to go winless. He won, what, Texas with, like, three to go or something?
Right.
I don't know. This can maybe win Martinsville. I don't know. It's
the options are drying up.
That one was on a platter. Yeah, it was there for him, and this was his race, and that caution just kind of bit him, you know, where the sun don't shine. But
so if you can make it the entire stage break or stage without pitting, does it make more sense to come a little earlier so you don't end up in this situation? I guess it doesn't matter, right?
Well, I liked some of the guys who pitted, and they talked about this on the broadcast, but some of those guys pitted early and had nothing but clear track in front of them, so they were able to kind of get out there and get after it for a few laps, but eventually the field cycles, and you're not by yourself anymore. So, I don't know. A lot of guys tried something like that. Brad, you know, was messing around with that a little bit, but he was never really in any contention. I think if you're talking about contenders, I think Bell had it right somehow. Christopher Bell, you know, got it far enough out in front and kind of played both stages pretty well, but that second caution just messed him up too. So there's not much you can do. I think with the way these stage cautions are, you just kind of got to get lucky. Boy, it really sucked though, the way that broke, honestly. I don't know.
It's interesting.
I liked it better without the cautions.
Well, and the thing is we'd have had the second caution anyway. because
yeah, it was coming.
That well, we had the wreck, we had the or the debris. I don't remember what the hell the caution was for now, but I think it was an accident.
There was a handful of them. There was the Corey LaJoy caution, which
yeah, I think that one was the 78 though. Yeah, it was the 78. Yeah, 78 and yeah. 7 that wrecked.
Yeah,
that brought that caution out. So, yeah, so that one was happening anyway, and Chase would have ended up screwed no matter what because he would have probably been coming in pit road there anyway. So yeah. It probably doesn't make a difference in the grand scheme of things. I don't know. I like the two guaranteed restarts, James. I hate to say it because I was really on board with getting rid of these stage breaks, but I don't think if we had the old car, I'd still say we need to have the stage breaks gone. But with this car, we need the stage breaks here to break these races up because otherwise you're looking at another one like they were spread out at the end of that first stage.
Yep. Oh, big time.
We might not have had that caution ever. So
yeah. Yeah. And that's why Christopher Bell played it perfectly. He pitted, got stage points and was in really good shape and was going to, you know, have a really good day. But yeah, it was kind of a revelation to me that the Roval itself doesn't really suck. It's just this car sucks on road courses. I mean, you know, a lot of people have been griping about the Roval coming back, but after I watched this race, I was like, you know, it's not really the Roval's fault. It's the car that's out there.
No, I've listened to a bunch of podcasts this week. I've had a lot of time in the car, so I've had opportunity to catch up more than normal this week. And that seems to be the sentiment. I mean, Charlotte does a good job. SMI does a good job putting this track together. It looks nice. It is a good racetrack, and it performed really well and was very popular with the old car. But right now, we're just not liking road courses with this car, which is ironic because this car was built for road courses. But it was built to drive good on road courses, and that's what it does. And these guys can't pass as a result. I mean, you just compare and contrast Saturday to Sunday and what the Xfinity guys were able to do by playing strategy and actually be able to come through the field. And you just couldn't do that in the Cup Series. It's just, you just can't with this car. I wanted to ask you, and I guess since we're on this topic, this is a good place to ask you. We discussed last week when the schedule came out about the Roval and whether we should still be racing on the Roval or racing on the mile and a half. So I have a question. The Roval, the race, it was still a good race. I don't know if you voted on Jeff Gluck's poll. I don't usually vote in it, but I voted this week and I voted yes. I thought it was a good race. I thought the ending was very compelling. But if this race isn't a playoff cutoff race, does it mean anything? Does it matter at all? Is this race any good without the cutoff aspect?
No, this race needs to be where it's at. With this car.
Yeah, I think you get rid of the cutoff and this race is awful.
Yeah, it's not the greatest race in the world, but we had... You know, Larson dug himself a pretty big freaking hole on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I found that very intriguing, just watching the strategy kind of play out and how was this legit contender going to dig himself out of a really nasty spot where he took the green flag and he went from 15 in to 15 out.
Yeah.
I thought that was super intriguing. But again, Eric, that plays to your point there. I mean, it's the cutoff, so you have those things going on, trying to get stage points, trying to, you know, guys kind of fiddling around trying to make it work.
You got Kyle Busch who makes it interesting at the end by being in, you know, right there on the front row.
Trying to get in.
You know, winning, you're in. And not only that, but, I mean, Bubba Wallace runs arguably his best road course race of his career and doesn't make it in. There were storylines there that you wouldn't have had if this wasn't. And even if this was just a playoff race in the middle of a round, it has to be a cutoff race or this is just, it just isn't any good.
Yep. Yeah, I know. It's tough. I mean, it's hard because this car is just not the best.
No. And I don't see a solution yet.
Yep. And that's the hard part. But I mean, you have to have every race itself is. Like, I don't know. You and I love racing.
Yeah.
We love the Cup Series. And
yeah, I might get on here and bitch about it, but I'm going to watch it every week anyway.
Yeah, and every race is its own individual property. Yep. It's got its own thing going on, and where it falls in the schedule is part of that, and it matters. And you can take a lot of things away from this race and say you didn't like this, didn't like that, but you can also look on the other side of things and say, you know, that those restarts are really intriguing. Watching Kyle Busch do his thing. Holy crap. Where did William Byron come from? He continues to perform. Ty freaking Gibbs, you know, like you got a story there that he's coming.
I thought that win was finally here.
He was right knocking on the door. You know, and also you have the playoff drama, obviously. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good things, even in a bad race. If you're looking for it, you can find it. I mean, gosh, Denny Hamlin got beat by your favorite driver, all of your favorite drivers, and finished last. So if you wanted to watch that, you could. You had that. I stole that from Twitter, by the way.
That's good.
But yeah. So there's a lot of things you can take away, even from a little bit of a stinker. Not super worried about it.
Yeah, and ironic that all the drama was around the playoffs, and that's what made this an interesting race. And it was a non-playoff driver who won the race.
Yeah, for the first time in the season. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
but yeah, I was pumped for AJ. I know, just to give him his
yeah, for sure.
His due. I mean, that was a heck of a drive from him. You know, a lot of emotion. I just, when AJ wins, man, he pours it all out.
Oh yeah.
Like every time.
Shoot. When he won the Xfinity race at Michigan a couple years ago, he was almost in tears. I mean, that was an incredible victory. So
yeah. And he's the Roval GOAT for all time now.
Yeah.
He's 4-for-4 in the Xfinity series, and now he's got the cup win there too. So that's his playground for here and all time. He dominates that place. Even in the cup series, he can get one. So pretty cool to see him add to his resume there.
So I want to talk about AJ. He's lower down in the notes, so we can talk about it now. Obviously, there's been a lot of rumors that AJ is going back to Xfinity next year, that somebody else is going to be in this 16 car in the Cup Series. Although I don't know if you watched the post-race press conference or just read the notes from it, but I watched it today, and the way it seemed to me was that, I can't remember if it was Matt Collig or Chris Rice. I think it was Chris Rice that made it sound like they are keeping AJ and it just hasn't been announced yet. The way he worded it was weird. So I don't know if it's all set in stone yet that AJ is going down. My question to you is, James, I get that it takes money to run these teams, and sometimes the guy with money is not the best guy. But you've got a guy here who is a proven Cup Series winner. I realize that he's not competing anywhere other than road courses, really. But he's won Cup Series races. He's a Cup Series veteran. He's a NASCAR veteran. Who else that's available right now do you think is a better pick to put in that car than AJ Allmendinger?
Unless somebody brings a full season of funding or pretty darn close to it, like AJ gives you a shot at the playoffs,
right?
And that means a lot to these teams. And I know they didn't make it happen this year, but for a lower level team. I mean, that's important.
I just don't know who's going to add that team. They need somebody with experience in there, and there's just nobody left.
Well, and I think people forget, too, like, that team was not eliminated, like, very early on. Like, they went to the wire on the elimination on points. I mean, they were hanging around 16th. They made a really weird decision to send him to Road America.
Right.
Which I thought was weird. But other than that, like,
they didn't light the world on fire this year. Like, I think we kind of expected them to. And I'm not saying he was going to be competitive every week, but we did think that he was going to be more competitive in the road courses.
Well, last year in the Cup Series, he ran 18 races and had 8 top 10s. This year, he's run the whole schedule and he has 6.
Yeah.
So he's not meeting the production from last year.
Well, I wonder if a little bit of it, I realize that Colleague kind of fell behind a little bit this year too, and they did in the Xfinity Series as well. But I wonder if part of it is just that AJ doesn't deal with pressure well. So is it the fact that this race, there's no pressure anymore because he can't make the playoffs. He's already out.
Yeah. And getting yourself in position, you know, he's good enough to where if he's in position, I think Colleague, my personal opinion is Colleague is stretched thin, a little too thin. And I think we're seeing some of those growing pains out of that whole organization as other teams around them are starting to build up. Spire is coming up. RFK came up pretty big. Legacy's coming up. colleagues is the team. Like, as everybody's performance is improving, you cannot stay the same.
Yeah.
I think they're staying the same while everybody else is getting a little bit better.
That's a good way to look at it. I think you're right.
Yeah. That's where I feel about it. Now, that being said, you know, AJ can get you in the playoffs.
Yep.
And that's super valuable. Even if you're not as performing as well, you know, like,
well, think of the money that you add in the charter if you can get in the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, right. It's not going to be immediate, but you're talking down the road. Of course, it depends on what the agreement ends up after this year, but still.
Yep. Yeah. And you look at, you know, Legacy's, I think Legacy's a good comparison. Like Eric Jones obviously is the best driver of the colleague Legacy group. And then they're bringing in, you know, a hotshot rookie next year. but still, I think AJ's the right guy to be in this seat, and they've got a good relationship. So
yeah,
I'd keep it rolling with him. Honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I hope he gets to keep the ride. Again, I can't think of anybody who makes more sense to put in that car than AJ Allmendinger. I just don't know who you could possibly go after.
Well, that we know
a better choice.
We'll talk about this in the news, but one of the guys who maybe could have gone to colleague is not.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, maybe he's in a good spot there.
Yeah, I don't know. One thing's for sure, it sounds like colleague knows what they're doing. I would assume AJ knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of what what is announced, I guess, at this point.
Well, we could talk a little bit about the rumor mill. News has come out that Chandler Smith, who's in the colleague pipeline, might go back to the Toyota pipeline, which is, you know, he's in, you know, in the fast track to get a cup seat here eventually, but he's not ready. Even if he were to stay with colleague, I don't think he's probably a season away.
Yep.
So you gotta have, you know, the right guy in the right spot there.
Yeah.
I think they just don't have anybody yet.
Yeah. It's interesting. That's for sure.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Who do you call up? Like, you know, they've already got Hemric coming up and Haley's out. So yeah, I think you just run it back would be my opinion, but what do I know?
Yeah. That's why they're making the money and we're just sitting here talking about
That's right. That's right.
I want to talk about Bubba. So we mentioned Bubba had one of his best road course races. He did have a moment during the race though, courtesy of Daniel Suarez, who spun, locked up the brakes, turned into Austin Cindric, who turned into Bubba Wallace. Bubba Wallace spins on the backstretch chicane, loses 10 spots, and then comes around to the front stretch where he's informed that he needs to stop and serve a penalty because he ran through the chicane. What are your thoughts on this, James? Should the penalty be already have served because he got taken out and lost a bunch of spots, or is it right that he had to serve the penalty a second time?
Yeah, I think if you get spun out, you shouldn't have to. I mean, he didn't make the mistake.
Right.
Can
we not just look at it? Is there not somebody in the tower that can go, well, he lost 3 spots. Yeah, he doesn't need to serve a penalty. He served the penalty.
Well,
like, if you lose positions, shouldn't that get rid of the having to serve a penalty?
Do we want to be like F1 and have stewards and track limits?
I mean, maybe. Maybe we need to.
Oh, my God.
Maybe we need to. Brad Keselowski got screwed on his because
he did. Yeah.
You know.
Well, yeah.
And so, I don't know. I there's got to be a better solution. I hate the track limits thing, period, but you can't just...
Oh, it's so bad.
If you didn't have it, the last lap, these guys would just go straight through the tri-oval. They'd never stop at that last chicane. They just go straight through the AstroTurf, which might be exciting, but I don't think that's what we want to see. We get enough gimmicky finishes in NASCAR. So, I don't know. I feel like there's got to be some common sense there, and it has... NASCAR's got it where it's a solid line. And you're either right or wrong. And I feel like this is one of those instances where there needs to be a common sense decision versus it's just black and white.
I agree with you on that one because it's silly. Here's
the question. And this was brought up on DBC. Coming to the checkered flag, 2 cars. Let's relive the Jimmy Johnson. Who was it? Jimmy Johnson and Martin Truex Jr. They're coming in. Let's say Jimmy doesn't spin. They go side by side through that chicane. Jimmy doors into Truex, knocks him over the rumble strips coming out of the last turn. Truex ends up cutting the course because he got knocked off, but beats Jimmy to the line. Does Truex win that race or does NASCAR penalize him?
I think they would let him win the race.
I think they would contact. Too. So if that's the case on the last lap, why is it not the case in the middle of the race?
Yeah, exactly. Or I hate to say like do what F1 does ever, because I think F1's so bad. But I mean, instead of making the teams have to stop, just assess them with a penalty.
Right.
Like give them a 2 second penalty, and then you could either assess it at the end of the race or put it on your pit stop.
I'd be okay with this. Okay, you gained a spot. You got to give a spot back.
Just give it back, yeah.
Even same thing as passing below the yellow line on the super speedways, James. If you're going down there to save a wreck, okay, now you got to give the spot back.
Yeah. Well,
the guy that I passed, you know, went to the back of the pack. Well, tough shit. You got to give the spot back.
Yep.
You know, but it's not as black and white that way, but I think it makes more sense.
We've seen the big one at Talladega how many times?
Yeah.
And pit road speed is getting broken when drivers are flying down there at full speed trying to avoid the wreck. So, I mean, you got to use common sense, just like you said.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of that. Silly. I mean, world doesn't have a lot of that. NASCAR doesn't have much of it. I don't know. It's just, I guess it's a lot to ask. The other one I want to talk about, we eliminated four drivers. We eliminated Kyle Busch, who ends up being the last of the 12 at this point. We also lost Bubba Wallace, Ross Chastain, and Brad Keselowski. I think Bubba and Brad probably are the biggest disappointments. You know, Brad was pretty solid until he took himself out at Talladega.
Yep.
And he can blame it on Carson Hocevar all he wants, but that was Brad's fault. We talked about that last week.
Yep.
Bubba's had hit the season of his career, and I mean, I think
it's a
victory for him to be at the point he is. It's got to be disappointing to see Reddick continue on when Bubba hasn't. But Reddick's just been that little bit better when he needs to be. So.
Yep.
But Martin Truex Jr. is now back on top. And I wanted to say, and I don't remember which podcast said this, but I'm gonna repeat it and not give credit to the person. But whoever is out there that's saying, and it might have been Bob on Dormer Clear, all those people out there that say that the guy who wins the regular season championship needs a bye to get to the final round, he's got it. This
he's
is
already
it.
Got it. Oh my
if
god!
If Truex is getting
he
to
got
the final
two
round,
buys.
He hasn't buys. Finished better than 17th in the playoffs.
I am so bothered by this, and I understand that he earned the playoff points that he's been given.
Yeah.
But my God, he has not even shown up, and he's making it through, and it's this one frustrates me.
Yeah.
Again, Eric, I looked it up. Somebody put it on Twitter. Thank God. Since the playoffs started, do you know how many points he's earned? I just guess what position he is out of 40. How many points he's earned out of all the drivers so far, if you had to guess?
I don't even know. I can't even give you a guess.
He is 24th. He is the worst playoff driver by far. And he's still alive.
Yeah.
Still alive.
And I said he's back at the top. He's not. He's second. He's fifth. He's 5 points behind William Byron to start.
Yeah, Byron. Well, yeah, Byron got the win to lock in that extra 5 bonus points.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean it's troublesome. Now that being said, he can't continue this.
No.
This is it.
He's not doing that this round. And that's the question that I have in the notes. He's back on top. He's back in second position. He's 5 points out of the lead in the point standings. But is he actually a threat at this point?
I don't consider him a threat.
I mean,
you show me something, I don't consider you a threat.
But
at
we're
all.
Going to tracks that he's good at, but man, they've just not been good.
He just hasn't been good anywhere.
No.
And I know some of it's a little bit of bad luck, but he hasn't been good anywhere. No. I just
And to look at the guys he has to beat. So you've already got William Byron, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson in the final four at this point with him.
Yeah.
I would be hard pressed to kick any of those guys out.
Yeah, I was going to say, who's he better than right now?
And then you look at the guys who are outside looking in. Tyler Reddick right now. If Tyler Reddick doesn't make the final four, something happened, man. He's got to be in the final four.
He's got a lot of good tracks coming up here for him. Two really good ones for him right here.
We know Chris Buescher can pull a win out.
We know Bell can win.
Blaney, the only reason I give Blaney an option is because it's Blaney. I mean, he can do it at any time and intends to do it when you don't expect it. But yeah. I don't really put a lot of expectations in that car just because I just don't think Penske's there.
I think if you ranked him, I'd put Truex 7 and Blaney 8.
Yeah.
And that's only because Truex has the points to back himself up. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, Blaney's been better.
I don't see Truex getting out of this round.
I don't.
But then, he can go to Martinsville and win it.
I know. I don't want him to. Honestly, like, you haven't shown up. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of here. I don't want to see you anymore.
But
like, I've seen enough.
Anybody who argues that this point system doesn't reward consistency during the regular season needs to just look at this season, because this season proves it.
I
shouldn't be here still.
It frustrates me. Like, you got to at least get a top 10 finish
What Brad Keselowski has done, and then Martin Truex Jr. beat Brad Keselowski in.
I know. Brad fought tooth and nail.
Right.
And missed the cut by just a little bit. Yeah. And the dang thing of it was, Truex wasn't even really in trouble all day Sunday.
No.
Like, Larson was actually in trouble.
Right.
But Larson did that to himself.
Yeah.
So, Eric, I was looking at the playoff bracket. I was so proud of myself when I realized I got 7 of the final 8.
Yeah.
But I lost my final 4 driver and Brad Keselowski that we went back and forth on like an idiot. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Boy, do I feel dumb after that. Because we talked about it, and I had Bell in there. I had Bell in the final 4. I would have been fine, but nope. So proud of myself. And then I looked at my final 4 and said, oh, you idiot. So, good times.
We mentioned Denny Hamlin gets the last place finish in this one, 37th, involved in an accident not of his doing. Breaks toe link, and that's it. Out on the DVP. Eric Jones, they said on DBC that every time NASCAR queued up the radio, he was serving another penalty. So rough day for Eric Jones. He finishes 36th. Couple guys to shout out. We mentioned Ty Gibbs. Great performance from him. He finishes 9th in the first stage. But he was there. He was there at the end. He was in good position. Probably got outfoxed a little bit by the veterans.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, really one restart gave it away. But he certainly had an opportunity. I don't think he was going to beat AJ, but he could have run second.
Yeah, man. He was there.
Who else is worth mentioning here?
Eric Williams.
So I wanted to just revisit Truex one more time. Truex is in the final 4, but Truex's car is not.
Oh yeah. It's Chase Elliott's in.
Yep. Truex is out of the owner's championship. So does that change anything from the way, I mean, if you're Joe Gibbs, you put more effort into the 11 car than the 19, because that's what matters to the team, right?
I mean, I don't know. Dale Jr. wants me to care about this. I just have a hard time caring. Jeff Gordon does too. I don't know.
You realize the only chances we have at a repeat champion this year is Martin Truex Jr. and Kyle Larson.
Yeah.
That's it.
I know. We're going to get
the odds are in our favor that we're going to have a new champion this year.
I got a good idea of who's going to win it.
Yeah, I do too.
I feel a lot more confident.
The guy who's already at the front of the point standings.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't know where he came from on Sunday, but that was a championship type drive.
They got their crap together, man.
Oh, he's fast now. He's not making mistakes. Now, that being said, like, things happen, right? But
yeah,
he finished this round. He finished 1, 2, and 2.
Yeah.
So second best average finish ever in the round of 12.
Those are the finishes that get you championships.
Yeah. Joey Logano in 2015 did sweep this round and did not make the final 4.
There you go.
So yeah, that was the Matt Kenseth year.
You were starting to say something. Did I step on?
No,
you?
No. We got to it. I wanted to bring up Byron one more time. Perfect. Just because I was watching and just like, man, that guy. That team's really starting to fire it off.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that might be where our champion comes from. I don't know. You might have to go through that 24. He's in good shape.
Yeah, I think he's the guy to beat. I think Kyle Larson is dangerous. He's always dangerous.
He's like a wild bullet out of the gun. Like, you don't know which way it's going, but he can get there.
And I think Tyler Reddick's another one that's like that Tyler Reddick is one of those guys that wins when you don't expect him to.
He is the guy who can spoil the party now.
Yeah.
He's going to either win Vegas or Homestead and be there. I really do think Tyler Reddick is like, this is an unbelievable run. So I think he's got Final Four written all over him.
I mean, there's a pretty likely scenario where Kyle Larson and Tyler Reddick are both winners after the next 2 weeks, right?
I think Larson could go into Vegas this week and just waltz off with it.
And I think both those guys are going to be the ones battling each other at Homestead. So.
And Byron's going to be there too. That's the thing, though. If these three guys, I like these three guys at each of these racetracks, and especially Homestead. Like, Byron's won there. Larson and Reddick are really great there. It's going to be interesting. I think Vegas is, these next 2 weeks are going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, they are.
Because we got some top heavy talent that's going to be throwing blows, trying to punch their ticket to the championship round.
Lots of good racing to come. Probably two of the best weeks of the season coming right now, I think.
Yeah, and then you get Martinsville, which hopefully, I know the car sucks there, but could still be a good show. I still have hope.
If enough's on the line and the people are in the right spot, you could still get a good show out of a crappy car.
Yes, you can. Yep.
I mean, we proved that this week. You know, we got an acceptable show out of a car that doesn't race good on road courses.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Or races too good.
Yep.
So, anything else with the cup cars at the Roval?
Nope. I think that we covered it, man. More and then some, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. With that, let's talk some Xfinity Series racing. The Drive for the Cure 250 was on Saturday. Sam Mayer gets the walk off, gets the win, moves on. Had to win to make it. And pretty much did it with authority, right? I mean, you talk to somebody who did everything they needed to do. Sam Mayer was all but perfect on Saturday.
Yeah, he needed it and got it done.
I mean, this is a guy who, he flipped the stage and still finished seventh in stage two. He still got freaking stage points in both stages despite flipping the stage.
And he wasn't even, I don't think, trying to get the stage points.
No.
Because they were just trying to get the win.
Yeah, they were trying to talk him down a little bit.
Yeah. He dominated this race. It was, and I know Justin Allgaier kind of got the raw end of a kerfuffle.
Well, did he? Because here's the thing, James.
he got the wrong end of it. That's for sure.
Here's the thing. You are starting side by side with a guy who has never restarted in the front with old tires. Do you really put it in on the outside of him in turn one? Because how many laps were left to go in that restart? There were a dozen laps left, right?
At least. He made it to lap 60. That was, there was still 16 laps, looks like.
Yeah.
16 laps to go.
So plenty of time.
Yeah.
Allgaier was not going to have trouble getting by Jeb Burton. There is no reason for him to bonsai it. And I don't think he would make the turn without Jeb hitting him, to be honest.
Eric, has this not been the consistent theme of the seven car for the entire season? They put themselves in weird spots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not only that, but he was gifted that position on a silver platter.
Oh, my God.
He goes and pits, and immediately the caution comes out. Immediately. It couldn't have happened better than that. The caution comes out.
Yeah, I know.
And now he's on the front row. And he's got one guy he's got to get by with old tires, and it's Jeb Burton. Like, come on. No offense to Jeb, but Jeb is in an underfunded car for the first time ever restarting up front. He's going to make a mistake.
Well, and he's trying to win his way to the next round, too.
Yeah, it was do or die for him.
They were all desperate.
Yeah.
Every one of them was desperate.
You know who the only one who wasn't desperate? The guy who got wrecked because he was already in.
Yeah, I know. I know.
God. Yeah. I mean, I guess he saved himself the trouble of having to race with his teammate for the win. So there you go.
I guess his teammate did get in. So, because we
he would have won that race if he wouldn't have wrecked there.
Yeah, he probably. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was leading.
I don't think Sam Mayer was fast enough to get around Justin Allgaier.
Yeah. But I guess it worked out for Junior Motorsports. You lost Josh Berry in the playoffs, but you got two of them in. So
is this a disappointment for Josh Berry moving to the Cup Series next year to not make the Final Four?
He did what he's had to do. He got to the Cup Series. I know it sucks that he won't win a championship, but still can try to finish strong.
Yeah, I don't think it matters in the grand scheme of things.
No, I mean, overall, I mean, I'm sure, he would have loved to have continued to compete for it, but he's going cup racing, so he'll be just fine.
Yeah. Anything else with this one? I mean, this was a little bit more of an Xfinity race,
It looked like an Xfinity race. Yes, it did.
Little calamity, but it was a good race. Again, Sam Mayer tried to stink it up and did a pretty decent job of it. Led 50 laps. I mean, we only had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 leaders in this thing.
Yeah.
And one of those was Jeb, who led one lap. And the other was John Hunter, who led two. And Cole Custer led four. So, I mean, really, it's two guys, and it was mostly one.
Well, I don't know if Sam Mayer... I don't know if he's a contender for the title, because all of his wins are road courses.
Yeah.
But he found a way to hang around, man. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that he's got a title in him.
But he won. He won Road America. He won Watkins Glen. He's got the Roval now.
Yeah.
It's a good season for him.
He said he's the new AJ Allmendinger.
Until AJ's lining up with him next season, maybe.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, yeah, go out and win all the road courses, right?
Yep.
That's a nice little gig.
Hey, man. I mean, the Xfinity Series got a ton of road courses.
Yeah, so you can rack it up.
Better be good at them.
Darn right, yeah.
There you go. That was the Roval. We move on from there. We are going back there next year, as we learned last week. So we're not leaving it in the dust, but we'll leave it in the dust for this year. Let's talk some news, James. We got some more silly season news that came our way this week. Haley Deegan is moving up to the NASCAR Xfinity Series in 2024. Tell me what team she's driving for again, because I've never heard of it before.
Oh, you did it. You put me on the spot.
It doesn't matter, because I won't recognize the name anyway. Do they have a team now?
Isn't
Who drives
it,
for them now?
Yeah, it's the... Oh, my God. Hold on. I can get this really quickly. I'm almost there. It is... Oh, my God. Why isn't it on... Jayski.
I don't know.
Oh my God.
Anyway, I mean, Haley Deegan's coming up to Xfinity. That's a good deal.
Yes.
It's good to see her moving up. Hopefully it's successful for her. Hopefully it's more successful than the Truck Series has been. NASCAR needs Haley Deegan right now.
Boy, she's driving for AM Racing.
AM Racing, yeah. Who's their driver right now?
I don't know who she's replacing.
They have an ARCA team, I know that.
Yes.
Do they have an Xfinity team, or is this a new Xfinity team?
Oh, well, I'm going to find out for you here in just a second. I'm all over it, baby.
Yeah? Yep. Should have been prepared for this. When you put it in the notes, you should put a nice little link like I do.
Well, I thought maybe, you know, we would...
Gloss over it?
Have a nice talk. Yeah. Well, the problem with AM Racing is, I don't... Especially when you go to Racing Reference, it's like... I don't know.
So the verdict is out as whether this is a good move or not, right? Because we don't really know enough about this team.
Yeah.
I mean, we think it's a good move, but...
Yeah. Well, she was going up no matter what.
She's got Ford support, right? So they're gonna help her.
So Brett Moffitt drives the 25 Mustang right now.
Okay, so that is...
They have a Truck Series team.
It is the team that Brett Moffitt drives for?
That's right.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay, yeah.
And the principal or the main owner is Tim Self. Principal owners are Kevin Sawinski and Wade Moore. So there you go.
There you go. Yeah.
Wow. Cool. But yeah, this is the team she's driving for. Ford team, not Stuart Haas. And a lot of people crushing her on the social medias, which I'm like.
For what?
It's an Xfinity.
Up?
Yeah. And I'm like, it's an Xfinity Series ride. What's the point?
It's not like she got a cup ride.
And didn't get a cup ride. She
not
wasn't
like
gifted
she,
a cup
It's not
ride.
Like she had a mediocre season in the Xfinity Series and moved up to cup like Danica Patrick.
It's not like Dale Jr. didn't hire somebody who maybe didn't deserve an Xfinity Series ride a handful of times.
Well,
God.
We both went to the same place.
Yeah, well, there you go. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, good for her. I mean, again, I think NASCAR needs Haley Deegan. NASCAR needs a successful woman.
You can't.
Haley Deegan's the best shot we got right now.
Yeah, and you can't get better if you're just riding around in the Truck Series every week. I mean, go test yourself. Like, listen, man, I know it would have been nice if she got a win in the Truck Series or was a little bit more competitive, but I don't hold what happens to drivers in the Truck Series or the Xfinity Series against them very often.
Season's not over yet, man. There's two more races for the trucks.
Yep. Yeah.
She's going to win Homestead.
She could.
Probably not.
I don't know. Maybe. Who knows, man? You never know.
Yeah. She's got confidence now. She's got the ride. She don't need to worry about it.
Yeah.
Deal signed for next year.
Hey, we've seen her go toe-to-toe on the SRX series with a couple of pretty solid talents. So I don't know, man. I don't think she's trash. Let me put it that way. She's better than most, not the best. Probably right there in the middle. So go try it in the Xfinity Series.
There you go. I'm going to jump down to silly season. Let's talk some more silly season stuff before we move back. Let's see. Chandler Smith. We already talked about him, linked to JGR. So that's a potential. We've heard about AJ potentially going back to the Xfinity Series. Bob Pockris, I know he dropped it on DBC. Did he put it on Twitter too about Noah Gregson?
I haven't seen it on Twitter, but he, yeah, he said on DBC to.
It sounded pretty confident that it was a likely option for him to go to the 10 car in place of Eric Almirola. And yeah. And the big thing was is that
Noah Gregson, that is.
Yeah, Noah Gregson. And the big thing is that it sounds like that Eric is not coming back.
Yeah, Bob pressed him this week because there was a big sponsor event and Bob was with him at a media session and Eric just kind of blew it off saying, "Nah, they give me time to be with my kids."
Yeah.
And it's like, come on, man. What are we waiting for?
Yeah, this is getting silly.
I know. Well, there you go. Silly season.
There you go.
I think it's a good spot for Noah, honestly. Like, not that he's falling up quite to the level of Kyle Larson, but...
Yeah.
I mean, it's a decent ride. Doesn't have a whole lot of sponsorship, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Austin Cindric will return to Penske Motorsports in 2024. I didn't even realize he was up for contract renewal.
No, but he did. Yeah, that was surprised. Yeah. I mean, his dad is still a big kahuna over there, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Doesn't Tim Cindric still run the show?
Yeah,
there?
There might be some nepotism there.
Yeah,
that's all right. Whatever gets in the ride, right?
NASCAR is not a sport that utilizes nepotism very much.
You know,
often, so.
Cindric's getting a lot of crap for that, but it's not like he was a slouch in the Xfinity Series either. So,
oh, he was really good.
Yeah, I think there's potential there. It's not like Penske's lighting the world on fire this year. So, and he's
got a Daytona 500.
I was gonna say he's a Daytona 500 winner.
Yeah, can't so, take it away from
I mean,
him, man.
So is Trevor Bayne, but whatever.
A lot of, Michael McDowell too. Well, Michael McDowell's.
Yeah, he's had a good season.
I mean, that two car tried to win the Daytona 500 with a lot of Hall of Famers
yeah,
and couldn't get it done. So.
That's true. It's very true. I think that covers the silly season stuff. We found out, well, first of all, Bob dropped on the on
well, we
DBC.
Missed
this...
we missed one that just happened. That
oh, yeah, that's right. Notes. Yeah, it's not in the notes because you didn't add it to the notes. But but our buddy Carson Hocevar has created the most epic T-shirt ever. And has announced that he is going to the 77 Spire Motorsports car next
Dirt
year.
To Daytona, Carson yeah. Hocevar. Yes, sir. We were hanging out with him at Berlin. Well,
yeah,
kinda,
yeah,
in the same
of,
proximity.
Sort of. I got to ask him a question.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. I'm excited for that one. Spire's trying to build something.
Yeah.
And that's a good spot for him. I thought for sure he might go to colleague. I thought that was kind of lingering out there, but yeah, Spire makes total sense.
Yeah, I think it's a good move for him, especially with the upswing that the colleague has right now, the money they're putting into things, and I think Carson's,
Spire.
I think Carson's proven himself to be ready for a cup ride. I think he's done a good job. So, good to see. You know, Michigan boy, another Michigan boy in the Cup Series. We've got
between Brad, Eric Jones, and Carson Hocevar, we've got the mitten covered.
Yes, we do.
Got the thumb covered. We got out west covered now with Hocevar.
Yep.
So yeah, I like it.
Good deal.
Yep.
So again, Bob Pockris was on DBC this week, which, by the way, if you haven't listened to it, it's great. Little known fact that we came really close to losing Bob. He dropped the bomb on the podcast that back when he lost the position at ESPN, he was in talks with some sports betting companies to go do reporting for them and leave the sport. So, thankfully Fox picked him up and put him in a role there. And Bob is the gift that keeps on giving, definitely one of the hardest working and one of the best in the media center every week for NASCAR. But anyway, he dropped on the podcast that, that there was talk that they were going to begin tearing out the backstretch at California Speedway very soon. And then we found out today via, I don't remember who it was that shared it today.
A lot of people had pictures. Jeff Gluck was on it, but he was sharing stuff from the site. So
So construction signs are up, and there's a map that shows that they pretty much sold the entire track, and kept a portion of the property that used to be a parking lot. So the talk is that there were things that wouldn't work logistically with redoing the track or building the track onto the front stretch as originally planned. I read some stuff today that they tested it with iRacing and it just didn't work. So they are deciding to build a whole new racetrack, James. And I asked this question in our group chat today, and I'll ask it again on here. If you just sold the majority of the property that houses a racetrack in a very valuable area for more than the racetrack is worth, and you kept a portion of the property to build a brand new racetrack from scratch, does it make more sense to build that brand new racetrack from scratch there where it's going to be, again, overvalued by the property And probably have to be torn down in 10 years? Or does it make sense to build that track somewhere else and sell that last bit of property?
Well, here's my other thought. Like, they're not going to lose money on any of it, so I guess it doesn't really matter, but...
I just think the clock is ticking on any track that gets built here, and we are not building new tracks right now. I mean, you could argue that we do it every year in the Coliseum in L.A.
Yep.
But they're not building grandstands. They're not building concessions. They're just building a racetrack, and that's expensive enough. Yep. We kind of did it at North Wilkesboro, but still didn't. Other than that, we're not building new racetracks, and to fund a brand new racetrack in an area that is probably not going to last in. I mean, this area is doomed for racetracks, guys. We've torn a few of them up in this area.
Yeah.
We tore up Ontario. We tore up Riverside. We're tearing up California. We tore up, I mean, how many tracks do we got to tear up?
Yeah. I know.
It's not like it's really the LA market. I get that it is, but it's not. It is nowhere near LA. This is like an hour outside of LA.
Yeah.
This is like calling Chicagoland Speedway Chicago.
Right.
It's not.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I want this to work somehow. Yeah.
I mean, I do as long as it's not a Martinsville clone, which is what the little map shows right now.
Yeah, I think it was showing the size.
I agree. I did hear Martinsville, but with Bristol banking. That would be cool. That'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, let's make a Frankenstein.
Which is similar to what we were going to try to do on the front stretch. But yeah, I don't know.
I mean, if they're going to make a half mile, make a bit of a Frankenstein and do something completely unique.
Yeah.
Because we don't need a Richmond. We don't need,
no,
you know,
well, we don't need a Richmond. And now we've got Richmond too with Iowa next year. I mean,
we've got the improved Richmond. So we've got two Richmonds and an Iowa now.
Yeah.
Which Bob was hard on the Iowa decision. Did you get that part of it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, he wasn't so much hard on the Iowa decision as he was the fact that it's just kind of it seems like it's a placeholder. Like, yeah. if you're gonna go to Iowa, you should sign a 3-year agreement and say we're gonna come back, not just hey, we're going to Iowa because, you know, Canada fell through.
Right.
So next year when Canada's available, are we then axing Iowa, or are we axing something else?
Right. Hopefully it's Richmond.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I would assume if Iowa races better, then that probably will happen.
Right.
So, but who knows? I will say one thing, James. I mean, we haven't put a shovel in the dirt yet at California. We aren't racing here in 2025.
No, 2026 at the earliest.
At the earliest. And I would probably even be questioning that at this point.
Unless the track is a temporary facility?
Yeah. I don't know that you can do a full temporary facility like that.
Well, can
you
make an entertainment complex out there with more than just a racetrack?
I don't know. I think the infrastructure for the grandstands and all that is too much. I don't know. I don't think you could build something temporary that races well enough to. I mean, the Coliseum doesn't really race well. The Coliseum is a show because it's a show. It's not because it races good.
It's a freak. Yeah. Here's an idea. Can NASCAR just come out and say, "Hey, what are we doing?"
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
Well, imagine that.
Yeah,
they know what they're doing right now.
We saw the bulldozer out there, guys. Well, yeah. I guess the secret's out. I mean, come on. Why do we have to have secrets? Just makes for stuff like this. You know what I mean?
I mean, I guess in the grand scheme of things, COVID might be the thing that killed California Speedway.
Possibly.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
She was a good one for a while.
I hope we still get it. I hope I'm wrong and they build out there, but. Man, it just doesn't seem like that's probably going to happen. And it's really disappointing that we're losing a really good track.
Well, we lost it, unfortunately.
I hope that we at least get Chicagoland back to replace it, you know.
Well, Chicagoland's going to replace something.
Hopefully. Hopefully. Until, I mean, James, you saw the report this week, though, right? Big economic impact from the Chicago Street Race. Okay.
Yep. Big economic impact study. Yep. Put that out there.
You know, the funniest thing was, is I forget what the figure was, but there was a really high percentage of people that came from outside Chicago.
Yeah, it was like
they were touting that. And I'm like, wait a minute. That was the point of racing in Chicago, is so that Chicagoans didn't have to leave Chicago to go to the race.
Nobody cared. And all the Chicago people want is to get in and out faster.
Right.
And they're making that happen.
Right.
Oh, geez.
We did get some good news on the video game front for NASCAR, James.
Yeah, we just talked about it last week.
Yeah, yeah. iRacing is officially going to deliver a console sim game in 2025. They've acquired a license. It sounds like right now them acquiring the license has given Motorsports Games the money to continue to hold on to the IndyCar license. So that sucks. But
that sucks.
But I'll take the NASCAR game, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Motorsport Games won't be around very much longer.
No, they won't be. That's a whole
new world. Their website's already starting to fall apart. So
nice. I mean, I talked a little bit last week about playing the World of Outlaws game from iRacing on the Nintendo Switch. And as I was playing it last week, I'm like, man, you know, this is, I mean, I realize it's not a first time game because it's Monster Games and it's the guys who did NASCAR Heat and all that. So, yep. But still for first product, it's pretty darn good. Oh, yeah. Runs pretty well. I'm like, man, imagine what they could do with a NASCAR license. And sure
Monster
enough,
does the Monster did the SRX game as well, which, yeah, I thought held up pretty well.
I haven't played that one because it's not, yeah, on the Switch. So
yeah, I mean, it's aged now, like, yeah, a couple of years, but yeah, it's a good, the SRX game is pretty solid.
I mean, I can definitely feel some NASCAR heat in the World of Outlaws game. I haven't raced the Outlaws at all, by the way. I'm racing late models.
Yeah, and
you
can only do so much on a console. Yeah, you know, you can't really,
especially a Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly,
console that's 8 years old and just, right, like long in the tooth, so bad right,
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep.
But yeah, so that very exciting news. Especially if they can bring us something that's a little bit more iRacing-y than what we've had in the past. I mean, there's, yeah, really some promise here that we could have the best NASCAR game we've ever had.
Yep.
We got to wait an extra year for it, which kind of sucks because, okay, we have already waited a year for a game, yeah, that never came.
Yep. But I'm okay with it. I'm okay with waiting because I might actually have to upgrade.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
I know. I'm holding out. I'm going to wait on it now, James. I can't go to iRacing now because I got to wait for this one.
I know, right?
That's my excuse.
Yeah. Sure, sure.
All right, to finish things off, I want to talk a little bit about, I wanted to revisit the schedule a little bit. A lot of this is coming from Denny's podcast this week, which I know you've heard some clips from. You haven't listened to the podcast, though.
Not the whole thing, no.
But I wanted to hit on a few things from Denny's podcast and just, again, revisit the schedule. We talked about it last week. It was pretty fresh last week. And one of the things, and this wasn't actually from Denny's show, I think it was more DBC they talked about this, but so we talked last week. Darlington is now the regular season finale. Daytona is the second to last race in the regular season. We kick off the season or the playoffs now with Atlanta. Is there a better, so Darlington, the reason this is, it's of course because of the Olympics, we shifted the season and Darlington is the Labor Day weekend race. And we moved Darlington from Labor Day weekend and everybody had a fit. So it eventually got put back in its rightful home and Labor Day weekend. But my question is, James, if this is a temporary 1 year thing because of the Olympics, would it have been that big of a deal to just move the damn race for 1 week? Is it really that big of a deal?
I think the fans would have rioted.
It's not permanent, though. We know that it's not permanent.
Well, you and I know that it's not permanent, Eric.
Yeah.
But there's people out there. I don't know. I don't trust people.
Did you hear Bob's solution?
No, what'd he say?
Bob's solution was to end the season at Daytona and have a first round of the playoffs, four race first round.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I did hear him say this. Yes. He was talking about this on Twitter last week.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah. They honestly would have been a better idea or, you know.
Yeah.
Expand it just a little bit, but.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen that and maybe give the champion an actual bye if you were going to do it that way.
Yeah.
Or something, but yeah.
I don't know. I feel like you could just move this race a weekend and said, next year we'll be back on the normal weekend.
Yeah. Eric, do you remember what happened last time they moved it off of Labor Day?
Yeah, but they moved it across, moved it the entire year away, James. It wasn't one weekend.
Yeah, I know. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
We also were afraid we were going to lose the track. Like they were going to we just lost Rockingham. You know, we lost North Wilkesboro. We were pretty sure Darlington was on the chopping block, and it was.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So, I mean, they moved it to Mother's Day, for God's sakes.
Right.
It couldn't get much further away from where it was. Yep. So I think people would have understood 1 weekend for the Olympics.
I understand. Yes, I know. But I just don't trust people.
I think that would have been a better solution than this cobble job of a season that now feels like it's going to have an asterisk on it because it's not the way we normally do things.
Well, Denny was ranting about it, and I don't disagree with him.
Well, Denny's ranting about Atlanta being the start of the playoffs, which I don't disagree with. I mean, we kind of agreed last week that that's a bad race to start the playoffs with.
And Dennis, here's the thing about Dennis. Dennis thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
Yeah.
So getting out in front of it, of course, is what he wants to do. But he secretly, I know this, he secretly loves that he's got drafting tracks on his.
You would think so, right?
Yeah. No kidding. He's really good at these tracks.
Yeah.
But I know, like, in all honesty, like, he knows how difficult it's going to be. Yeah. So,
well, and again, Denny is very upset because the schedule is too long and he is physically ill. He says, because of how long the schedule is. So.
I don't even know
what to say. All feel sad for Denny Hamlin.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen his house, right? He's got a garage in his living room where his Daytona 500 car lives.
Yeah,
we should feel sorry for him.
Well,
I'm sorry, Denny, that you have to work so hard. Doing something that all of us would love to do.
You know, there was an NBA player who got traded recently. And his wife said it was inhumane and they need to be treated like humans and be warned about this. And all I could think of was, nobody feels bad for you.
Right?
That's what the money's for.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The World of Outlaws races many more races a season than the Cup Series does for less money, for most of those drivers at least. I do not feel sorry for these guys.
I wonder how physically ill Kyle Larson is racing, 30 dirt races plus his Cup Series schedule every year.
Right?
I'm sure we should all be concerned he's not doing very well.
It's just silly. Just silly.
Physically ill. My gosh, Denny.
I don't want to. We got the Jeff Gordon stuff on here too. Denny was outspoken about what Jeff Gordon said last week too. I don't have like notes on it, so I can't really discuss it too much. And you didn't get a chance to listen to it.
I got a comment. Okay. Because I know what Jeff Gordon said.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, Denny says that it's wrong what Jeff Gordon did to him and blah, blah, blah. We all have different ways of going about it.
Yeah.
That's fine. Here's what I think about Hendrick Motorsports. The way that they've done it is pretty damn successful. So maybe shut up and listen to what Hendrick Motorsports has to say.
Yeah, but I don't want vanilla drivers.
I don't either.
And what, I do not either. Tell me an organization that's more vanilla than Hendrick Motorsports when it comes to the drivers. Which, by the way, this is also the same organization that was once where Tim Richmond raced.
I think they are less vanilla than they were back when Jimmy Johnson and Dale Jr. were on there.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Larson and Elliott, damn vanilla. I understand that. But if you do it Denny's way, what does that get you?
What is Denny hurting?
He's annoying. He's not hurting anything.
He's making it better for us.
Ugh.
We need Denny.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, what is he doing wrong? It's not all he's doing is, you know, I can't help but love him commenting that the people giving him the double bird are giving him the 11. I mean, yep. I love the way he introduced himself at Bristol. I love what he said at Bristol after he won that race. I love him sticking it to the fans. And yep. It's not like he doesn't have fans. He's got tons of fans. They say he tells tons of t-shirts. You know, there's plenty of Denny fans in the crowd. And there's some people that boo Denny just because they like to boo Denny and it's fun.
It is fun. That's
it's fun to be
like
part of that
Denny.
Stuff. I've been, you know, at Red Wings games when you've traded a player or a player has left that you don't like, and every time they touch the puck, you boo them. It's fun. It's a blast.
I'm a big fan of. Listen, Denny was one of my favorite drivers for a long time. He's gotten to the point where he bothers me sometimes. That's all.
I know.
Just a little bit.
Of course, I didn't hear Jeff Gordon's comments. I only heard him through Denny Hamlin. And the way Denny Hamlin explained it, I agree with Denny Hamlin because the way he talked, how Gordon talked, it was too much for me. But I'm sure that it was slightly exaggerated to Denny's favor because it always
is. It's always exaggerated a little bit. Yeah.
Denny's always right. So.
Yes, he is. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
But at the same time, we need Denny's in our sport. So
action is detrimental. Yep.
Keep
Denny's
coming,
and Ross's, yeah, they're here to just needle me.
Let me put it this way. I am a bigger Denny Hamlin fan because of the way he's acting right now than I was before. So he resonates with me, and I find it hilarious. You're so hypocritical that you don't like him for it because you loved Tony Stewart for the same reason.
I know.
I mean, was Tony...
Eric, I only like trolls who are on my side.
James, tell me this wasn't whiny.
I'm gonna bust his ass.
That was whiny.
It sounded more like a threat than a whine to me.
The whole deal, the Talladega interview, where he talks about doing a figure eight and not wrecking enough cars and all that stuff, that was whinier than Denny Hamlin's ever been.
Yeah, but Tony actually had a sense of humor.
Yeah, well, Denny's got a sense of humor. He's got a good one.
You're good. You like him because he's trolling.
And yeah, short track racing.
Come on, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, Denny, I know.
Denny's all got good. Himself on the board.
Yep.
Denny and Tony both have themselves a spot on the soundboard.
Yeah. Well,
not as many times as Kyle Busch or Dale Jr., but, you know, Dale Jr.'s on here a lot.
Giant ass spoilers.
You know? Yeah. I haven't used that one in a while.
I know.
We haven't had to use it because we don't have giant ass spoilers anymore, but.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And the original.
Watch out!
There you go.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
All right. Any other news that we missed, James?
I think we got it, man.
All right. We go to Las Vegas Motor Speedway this weekend. The Cup Series and NASCAR Xfinity Series in action. South Point 400 for the Cup Series. The Alsco Uniforms 302, one of 18 races a season in the Xfinity Series, sponsored by Alsco. We get to make our picks, James. And I've been going back and forth this whole show about who I'm going to pick. Last week, you picked Tyler Reddick. I picked Chase Elliott. You got me again. 6 points.
Just barely.
I mean, this thing's over with. It's 991 to 811, 180 points behind you. I'm not coming back. But I was going to play some defense and try to screw you over for Homestead because I know who you're going to pick for Homestead. You can't. That's right. You can't pick him for Homestead. So I was can't. Going to pick him. Anyway, I'm taking Kyle Larson this week.
There you go. Larson.
I wanted to take Tyler Reddick this week, but I already picked him. So.
Yeah, I will take, who's going to be fast? Actually, I got an interesting one. I'll take Eric Jones.
Ooh,
I got some points to play with. Yeah, I got some points to play with.
You know who is a good, really good pick this week? You're going to laugh. Martin Truex Jr.
Oh, yeah.
He's a really good pick this week.
I'm too scared to pick
him.
He's
a really good pick all 3 weeks in this round.
Yeah, I'm too scared to pick him.
Yeah. Me too. I'm not picking him, but Jeez. He's a good pick.
Yeah. I think Eric Jones will be fast. I probably won't score as many points on you, but I want to save a couple of spots and I can play with it a little bit. So,
yeah. I think Tyler Reddick's the pick this week and I think Tyler Reddick wins this race.
Yep. Unfortunately, I used him up.
Yeah. Same here.
Yeah.
Chris Buescher's not a bad pick either, by the way.
Yep.
But, I've used him. You haven't.
Yep.
So, how about fantasy? How'd fantasy go this week?
It was great until I realized I lost by 5 to Barron Speedway. So, yeah, Barron Speedway got the win. I finished second, and I'm pulling up third place. Hold on, bear with me. Every time I go to click in, I have it opened. This happens every week. I have it opened, and then it...
Can we just agree that NASCAR.com is a terrible website?
It is. Team Justin was third. So Barron Speedway gets the win, increases his lead by 5. Playoff standings really quick. Barron is ahead of me there as well. So I'm second, and then Ranger is third overall. Same thing. Barron Speedway, me, Ranger, Tandem, Draftona, fourth.
There you go. Shout outs. James, I'm going to combine my shout out in Black Flag this week.
Okay.
Because it kind of can go both directions. I think it's a shout out more than it's a Black Flag. But so this week, I'll give you a little inside baseball. And if you listen to the Teardown, you already know about this. But if you didn't listen to the Teardown, go listen to it because it's pretty funny. So NASCAR has, you know, collects emails from everybody who covers NASCAR races ever and blah, blah, blah. And they have their listserv. Well, they had a glitch with their listserv last week. And they accidentally sent out, like, a reply to a press release. I don't know what it was. It was something screwy. I was so confused when I got it because I'm like, this isn't for me. And I thought maybe just I got it by mistake. But turns out everybody who pretty much has ever covered a NASCAR race and given their email to NASCAR and been put into this listserv, got this email. But that wasn't the fun part. The fun part has been, it'll sit for like a day, and then somebody will reply all, please remove me from this list.
So good. What a classic.
And every time they do it, it triggers a bunch of people, A, asking to be removed from the list, B, getting pissed off because somebody's replying all to all the emails, or C, trolling everybody who's on the list. The discussions have been so good. It's gotten so far as to discussing whether we should make fantasy football picks. The other cool thing is, I mean, if I've ever wanted anybody's email in the media, every time somebody replies, you get everybody's email. So,
so good, man.
But it's so
people
funny.
People are so dumb. People are so dumb.
And Jordan Bianchi talked about it this week on the Teardown and how he's just getting so much joy out of it. And I am too. Like, it went crazy. Like, all weekend long. Saturday was just insane. Just tons of replies. People bitching at each other and throwing a fit and all this stuff. And I was having so much fun. And then it stopped. And like, yep. Oh, man, it's over with. It's all done. And then like 2 days later, somebody replies all to remove them from the list. And it's like, yes, it's back.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad people are just like us.
I was so proud of the fact that I was involved in this when they talked about it on the Teardown. Like, the title of the show was Reply All. And I knew immediately what they were going to discuss. I listened to the Teardown this week just for that discussion. They held it right at the end. So,
oh my God.
Good stuff. That's my shout out and my black flag, especially black flag to the people who aren't smart enough to realize that when you reply all, you just reply to the one listserv. Don't reply all.
So stupid.
Nothing more funny than replying all to tell people to stop replying all. That's the best.
Yep. So, oh my God.
So dumb, but. So that's my shout out and my black flag, James. You got any shout outs?
Well, I have a story. Okay. I'll go really quick.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was waiting for this. Is this it?
This is it. I'm quitting. No, I'm just joking.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
I had a moment where I heard a listener listening to us in the wild. I heard about a listener listening to us in the wild.
How in the hell did that happen? First of all, they're out there?
There are people out there that we don't know that listen to the podcast. I knew through a mutual acquaintance that said, hey, I know James and Eric from listening to the Super Speedway. Wow. I love that podcast. And I wanted to wait to tell you on the show.
Oh, my gosh. That is awesome.
I know. Isn't that cool?
6 years, 299 we episodes. Did it. It's finally paying off.
Yep. We're done. That's it. That's it.
Shut her down, man. Yep, sorry, guys. We won't be back next week.
I know it's a short story, but I was like, this is really cool. I have to tell Eric, but I didn't want to tell you until we got on the show. So there you go.
That is awesome. That's incredible.
We have a listener out there.
Yeah. Time to end at 299, guys. No episode next week. See you later. We're done. It's been fun.
Yeah. Cut to music. We're done.
Yeah.
but that's it, man.
That's awesome.
I thought it was pretty cool. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. Thanks for saving the pod. Really cool. That's good.
Yeah. So you can tell your friends. There you go.
That's cool. Yeah. Any black flags, James?
That's it. I just had my story time this week. So good stuff.
All right. Where can people find you on social media if they want to hit you up during the week?
At James Cush on Twitter.
You can find me at TSuperSpeedway on Twitter. You can find the podcast on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSuperSpeedway. Our website is thesuperspeedway.com. You can also find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Anchor. Subscribe wherever you heard us this week for new episodes every week. And if you go to anchor.fm/thesuperspeedway, you can leave us an audio message and we might just play it on the show. NASCAR Cup Series South Point 400 from Las Vegas Motor Speedway this weekend. The NASCAR Xfinity Series is in action for the All-Sco Uniforms 302. Truck Series are still on break. We'll be back next week to break it all down and see who made it through the first of three in this round. Until then, everybody, let's go racing.